This morning, here on this Mother's Day, turn with me to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. As far as books in the Bible, I think probably Ruth and the other book that's given the name of a woman, Esther, are my two favorite books just to sit down and to read the narrative. To read the story of what takes place and what happens. And this morning, as we are in Ruth chapter number 1, we see the story unfold concerning a family. And as you go through these four chapters of this little book called Ruth, you see the grace of God working very greatly in the lives of those that are connected to Ruth and her family. Now, the book of Ruth, there are three primary women that are named in this book. You have Naomi, which is, we'll read about here in just a few moments. She and her husband, they leave where they were, and they go to the land of Moab, and they take their two sons with them. And while they're there, those two sons marry two Moabitess women. One of them is named Orpha, the other is named Ruth. I was thinking this morning, when you consider Naomi, she is a woman of tragedy. Much tragedy comes into her life, and we'll read a little bit about it this morning. The one daughter-in-law named Orpha, you'll find that she was a lady of tears and also of terror. She was very fearful. And then you have Ruth, and I just listed her as a woman of triumph because she has great victory in her life. I want us to read beginning in chapter number 1, and to get the story, we'll read a few verses here. And we'll find the start of what takes place in the life of this young lady by the name of Ruth. And certainly, this is the making, or she is the example, of a very godly lady and became a godly mother. Verse number 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpha, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women were left of the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and that she might return to the from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way and returned into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and you have dwelt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And she said, and they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. In the reading of these first 14 or 15 verses, we find this woman by the name of Naomi. And the reason I called her a lady of tragedy, of course, as you read these verses, in a 10-year period of time, or a little less than 10 years, she has lost her two sons and her husband. In that process, you'll find that when they were there in Bethlehem, Judah, there was a famine in the land, and they decide that they're going to go and they're going to sojourn in the country of Moab. Now, the word sojourn just simply means they're going to travel through it. They had no intentions of living there. They had no intentions of settling down in that land of Moab, because Moab was a very wicked place. It was a place where God had warned his people not to go. And here they have made the decision because of, well, let's say because of economics, because of the need, because of a famine. They make a decision to go to the land of Moab, and while they are sojourning, that's what they thought, they'd just be there a little while, and then all these tragic events take place. The two sons die, the husband dies, and you'll notice in the reading that you'll find that they, in verse number one, they're going to sojourn, and number two, verse two, they continue there, so they're staying there a little while longer. And then you'll find that in verse 4, they are there 10 years. In that 10-year period of time, there's great tragedy that takes place in the life of Naomi. And then we find Orpha, as we read about. She and Ruth were both decided and determined, we're going to go back to your land. We're going back with you. And then she gives them the story, of course, the tradition of the Jew was if a husband was to die, then the brother would take over the family and be that husband to that daughter-in-law. And she says, I have no more children. Why would you go to the land with me? I think when you look into, and this is a whole different subject, but when you look into the life of Naomi, I believe she was very, very cold and indifferent toward the things of God. The reason she went to Moab, her and her husband, was because they was out of the will of God. As she sojourned there, she got colder and more indifferent toward the things of God. Now she doesn't even want her daughters-in-law to go with her back to her land. And she realizes there's things wrong in her life. You may not have noticed as we read, but she said that she was sorry. She was troubled because the Lord's hand had gone out against me. In verse number 13, she realized that some things were wrong in her personal life. And she is weeping over these two girls, and she says, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And so the results of Naomi's disobedience has brought about tragedy in her life and even in the lives of those two other young ladies. Orpha, she's determined, she also, she says, we're going with you, but she gets a little farther and she turns back and goes to her homeland. She is that lady of tears and terror. She is a little bit afraid of maybe what the future might hold for her. And so she goes back to her father's house and we hear nothing else about her. Then you come to the young lady by the name of Ruth. Ruth, what a story this book is. What a narrative that God gives us in these pages about the life of this woman by the name of Ruth that was so blessed of God. And this morning, in the time that we have, I want us to consider how that Ruth was a godly lady and how that she became a godly mother. And I know we are celebrating Mother's Day, and this message could be preached anytime because it's a message that celebrates what God's grace can do in each of our lives as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at some things about the life of this woman by the name of Ruth. I believe, first of all, we find that she was a woman of full commitment. Now, we don't hear much about that word today in our society of being committed. Nobody wants to commit to anything for a very long period of time because we're afraid of what's going to be out in the future. But I believe when we look at Ruth in some of these verses, we'll find that she was a very committed young lady that was committed to certain things. Now notice in verse number 16. Let's look at verse 15 first. It says, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods." Now this is Naomi talking. "Return thou after thy sister-in-law." So here's Naomi, the supposed person that should be right with God, and she is telling Ruth, she said, "Now, your other sister-in-law, she has decided to turn back, go to her father's house, and go back to her gods." That's a little G-O-D-S. And she says, "Why don't you just do the same thing?" Now, in the next couple of verses, we find the commitment that Ruth had, and I want us to read them. These are very powerful words that she gives us in these next verses, verse number 16. "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And where thou diest, I will die. And where there will be, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Those are powerful words from a young girl that is coming out of the land of Moab. She has had no background training in biblical things. The only thing she knows is what she has learned maybe from her husband and maybe Naomi concerning life as she comes into that family and marries one of those young men. And she is now faced with a choice. And by the way, all of us, all the way through our lives, we're always faced with choices. We're going to choose to do good or we're going to choose to do bad. Adam and Eve was faced with a choice. They chose the wrong thing. Ruth was faced with a choice. Thank the Lord, she chose the right thing. And so the possibility is there, but it is very important that we understand we do have choices that we have to make. And here Ruth says, "I'm not going to go back to where I was." And she was very committed in her life because of some things that had taken place, I believe, in her soul. She says in verse number 16, the first word that we have here that's recorded that Ruth says in this passage is she says the word entreat. I looked up the word entreat, and she is saying in that original term, she is saying to Naomi, "Do not stand between me and doing what I need to do. Entreat me not to leave thee. Don't stand between me doing what I need to do and you, because I'm committed that I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm committed that I'm going back to Bethlehem, Judah." Now, when you study the Scripture, you'll find that many times when the people of God got out of the will of the Lord, they always made a trip somewhere outside of Bethlehem, Judah. They're always outside of Israel. Israel is God's land for God's people, the Jew. And in the Old Testament, God told them to stay where they were and to be a separate people, to be a peculiar people, to be a different people. And when they would sort of get out of sorts with the Lord, they'd always go somewhere, and everywhere they went, they found troubles and problems. And that's exactly what happened to Naomi and Abimelech. They went out of the land of Judah, and they went down to Moab. Now, you can find a lot of scriptures in our Bible that talks about going to the land of Moab, and usually it's always connected with death. When you go to the land of Moab, you lose something. When you go to the land of Egypt, you lose something. When they went to the land of Egypt, they lost their freedom. They lost everything that they held dear. And so anytime you go out of the land that God has given the people of the Lord, they are losers. And when we go out of the will of God, you know what? We are. We are losers. And we find that this woman, Ruth, she had such a commitment. She says, don't stand between me and doing what I know needs to be done. What a bold statement. She had a commitment. I believe even though she was a widow, she was committed that she was going to go back to the land of her husband. She was going to go back to where he came from and go back and serve. And she says, thy God shall be my God. Your people are going to be my people. And where you die, that's where I'm going to die. Ruth was so committed that she was going to serve the Lord. She was committed to her husband's memory. She was committed to her mother-in-law. She was committed to her husband's people. And she was committed to her husband's God. Thy God shall be my God. When I do weddings, I always use these two verses. They, to me, are not just verses of commitment that Ruth had toward her, but these are words that we can apply to each other as coming together as husband and wife. Thy God shall be my God. Your people will be my people. And all the words there, and it's so very fitting. And I don't think I've ever done a wedding that I did not use those verses. And so we find that Ruth was a woman of commitment, and that commitment paid off, and it showed her character. It showed who she really was. You know, character is what we are, regardless of what anybody thinks about us. Character is what we do, no matter what anybody sees or thinks we should or should not do. Now, our reputation is different. You have a reputation. I have a reputation. And that's what people think about us. But our character is what we really are, underlying everything else. And this young woman, not only was she a lady of commitment, but she was a woman of character. She said, I'm not going back to my homeland. I'm not going back to my father's house. I'm not going back to where I was. She said, I'm going forward, and I'm going to the land of my husband. Now we find that when they make the journey, they make the trip, and she's with Naomi, and that wasn't the best person maybe to be with as you come back into Bethlehem, Judah. Naomi had a bad reputation. Naomi had a problem with people realizing, and she had a real problem with her own thoughts and her own life. And so the Bible says in verse number 19 that they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city, now here we find, all the city is moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She went out with her family, and now she's come back with a Moabitess girl. And the whole city, when they hear that she's coming, they, I believe maybe in amazement and in awe, they are saying, is that really Naomi? I'm sure you are like I am. Sometimes when you haven't seen people in a long time and they go through some physical struggles and some health issues, you look at them and say, is that really? And you use their name. Because facial features and everything changes because of struggles that come to our life. And Naomi had a lot of struggles. And she comes into this city, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said to them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now notice the statement of Naomi. I went out full. Well, back in verse number 1, there was a famine in the land, and they thought they were going out empty. But she says, I went out full. Sometimes we have more than we think we have, more than we recognize. Sometimes the blessings are there that we do not see, and we have to go through some problems. She said, I went full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Here we find that Naomi brings her back to Bethlehem, Judah, and Ruth has to be a person not only of commitment, but now she has to be a person of character. She has to stand by her mother-in-law, even though her mother-in-law is beating herself down because of the tragedy that has come into her life. Here is Ruth that is standing beside her and giving her that moral strength and that strength that has to be for her to go on. You know, everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs friends. Everybody needs people that will be with them and help them through the struggles of life. Our struggles may not be like Naomi had. Our struggles may not be like Ruth had, but we all have our struggles, and we need someone that we're able to help us to deal with those issues of our life. I'm glad I have a friend. His name is Jesus. But I'm glad I have some friends on this side of eternity that we can deal with and show our conviction to. I believe that this lady had some great character because she showed it in a difficult return. They didn't go back into Bethlehem, Judah in a party mode. They didn't go back into that place feeling well and feeling good and feeling blessed. They go back to Bethlehem, Judah as beaten down. And here is this Moabitess girl that all the Jews and all the city that would be there present, they would say, why is she here? She's out of the land of Moab. She a Moabitess, and you read the history of Moab and Israel, you understand maybe some of the prejudice there with them. But I have always said the Jews, probably the most prejudiced people that have ever lived. They didn't even want the dust of somebody else's land on their feet. And that's why the Bible says they'd shake the dust off of their feet. And so they're very prejudiced. And here's this Gentile, and we know what the Jews think at this period of time. We know what they think about Gentile people. They call them Gentile dogs. And here's Naomi that left out an upright, outstanding family. And here she's come back alone. She's buried her husband and her two sons in that ungodly place called Moab. And now she brings up a daughter-in-law. Ruth had character because she stood there and she stood firm with her mother-in-law. If you've ever been on the other side of problems and prejudices, we might would understand that a little better. But it showed in a very difficult return. Her character shines, begins to shine in chapter 2, and we don't have time to look at these verses, but her character began to radiate because of some things that was taking place in her life and how the Lord was helping her. And then in chapter 3, the redemption and the bringing into the family as it should have been. And so her character was put on display. Will she break? Will she do what she's supposed to do? And she is always true to her own life and to her character. She had commitment. She had character. And she says, thy God shall be my God. She had conviction. For you see, the God of Naomi and Abimelech and their two sons was not the God of the Moabites. They were idolatrous. Just as Naomi told Orpha, said, go back to your father's house and to your gods. They knew nothing about the God of Israel. They knew nothing about the history of what had taken place and the people of Israel. And now here is Ruth the Moabitess, and she makes this statement that we just read a moment ago, "Thy God shall be my God." What she is saying there, I'm going to take the God you have, and he's going to be my God. Well, I'm glad, thank the Lord, we have the same God this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. A woman of conviction, something that maybe was not taught her very, very much, other than those few, ever how maybe years that her and her husband were together. But she had a conviction about who the true God was. And that's why she said, "I'm not going back, I'm going forward. Don't stand between me and going forward. Don't stand between me and serving the Lord." And so we find here, she was a woman of conviction concerning her family. She was a woman of conviction concerning her faith. "My God, thy God shall be my God." That enters into this thing called faith. "Thy people shall be my people." That's the land of Israel. She had a conviction concerning the laws of God. She said, "Whatever is given, I will do." She said, "I'll go where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And where you die, I'm going to die." She was committed and she was convinced and she had conviction that I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do in order to have the blessings of the Lord. I wish we had time this morning to go into the life of Ruth now, after she gets to Bethlehem, Judah, and how that she meets a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, the next in line to be able to take care of her. And there was a redeemer. Again, you have to know a little bit of the traditions and the laws of Israel. If a husband died, then the next of kin, whether it be a brother or just the next of kin, was committed to be, if he could, to take care of that family. And they find that there's a man by the name of Boaz. He's a near kinsman. And he was there. But they find that there's a kinsman closer than Boaz. And so they have to go down the order. And this closer kinsman, he said, "I'm not able. I can't do it." And Boaz steps up and he said, "I can do it." And of course, we know the story of what happens, that Ruth becomes the wife of Boaz. That redeemer as a type and a pure picture of the Lord Jesus Christ redeeming us. And now her conviction has paid off. Her character has paid off. Her commitment has paid off. And she's gone through the struggle. She's gone through the hard time. But we're talking about the example of a godly woman becoming a godly mother. And sometimes we go through those struggles. Sometimes we go through those hardships. And so her commitment and her character and her conviction all now brings down to the end of the story. And you'll find that she has a child. And his name, strange name to you and I, it's a name of Obed. And you'll find that Ruth now becomes a woman named with the champions. You take the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are two ladies that are mentioned. And both of them have a little bit different character than what most of us would pick out to be in our lineage. You have Rahab, and when you think of Rahab, you think of who she was or what she was before she met God. Every time you read about Rahab, it's always Rahab the harlot, a woman of not good reputation. But you know what? She's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ because God did something in her life. Then you find the other woman that's mentioned in the lineage of our Savior. Is this woman we're talking about this morning, Ruth, and she's always called the Moabitess, showing a difference. She's not a Jew, she's a Gentile. Rahab is not a Jew, she's an ungodly, sinful Gentile, just like Ruth was. Oh, and by the way, just like we are. We're no different. They're on the other side of the lineage of Christ. Thank God I'm on this side. I'm a child of the King, and I'm a Christian this morning because of what the Lord has done for me, and I'm on the other side of it, but we're all just alike. It all takes the grace of the Lord to make a godly person. And so we find here that Obed, her son, he has a son, and his son's name is Jesse. Well, that doesn't mean too much. So he had a son named Jesse. Well, guess what? Jesse had a son, and his son, y'all tell me, David, who became King David. So you have David, you have Jesse, you have Obed, and you have Ruth. Ruth and Boaz. Here, all of a sudden, her character and her commitment and all these convictions that she has paid off. Now, she didn't realize when she had this little boy and she named him Obed, she didn't know what was going to take place, but God did. She didn't understand what we can see. She didn't recognize what was taking place, but God has, through His marvelous grace, put her right in the line and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come over to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, you'll see that royal line, and her name is there. Praise the Lord this morning. There is an example. There is a making of a godly lady that became a godly mother and had influence. I do not believe in this world that the influence of kings are half as important as the influence of mothers. I do not believe that government influence is as strong as parental influence upon children. God has set it in motion. And here we have, real quickly, we've gone through just a portion of the story. But you know, with Ruth, it all started with one thing. What was it? Commitment. Committed first to the Lord. Don't stand between me and of others. Because of her commitment, she had and showed her character. Her character brought about certain convictions. And God blessed her, and she's named and listed with the champions and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever say, oh, I'm nothing. By the way, we're all nothing. But out within the grace of God, He can make us something. We can be in the lineage, and we are in the other side of that lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of the King this morning. If you're saved, you're a child of the King. And He came to this world born of a woman. And you read the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, you'll find that one of the lineages that are given takes you all the way back to Adam. The other one takes you all the way back to David, who was the great-grandson of this lady called Ruth. God can make us what we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was rewarded because of her commitment. She is now remembered and cherished and preached about and read about for all these centuries. Why? Because she says, "Thy God shall be my God. Thy people shall be my people. Where you lodge, that's where I'm going to lodge. Where you die, that's where I'm going to die." What great commitment from this young lady who was a widow that said, "I'm just going to serve God. I'm going to do what's right." And God blessed it. And we've read about her this morning. Has a whole book named after her. The book of Ruth. Let's stand together this morning.